Trump-Zelensky meeting. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Ukraine's leader will be at the White House in a few hours. President Trump posted he knows exactly what he's doing this days after his summit in Alaska with Russian leader Vladimir Putin, who continues to wage war on Ukraine with another drone and missile barrage hitting Kharkiv hardest.
They say that as many as 7 people are dead, including a 1-year-old girl. More than a dozen people are wounded as rescue teams continue to search through the rubble this morning. Kharkiv is Ukraine's second largest city. It's located in the northeastern part of the country near the border of Russia. Now, further south, attacks caused fires to break out in Zaporizhia. The regional governor says that the Russian strikes killed 3 people and wounded about 20. More attacks also took place in areas like Sumy and Odessa as well.
Fox's Alex Hogan. Now, President Vladimir Zelensky posted on X, Russia must not be rewarded, pushing back on proposals to give up territory, adding Ukraine needs reliable security guarantees, and he can talk to leaders from NATO and Europe about that. They will join the two presidents at the White House after their initial meeting this afternoon. A sheriff's deputy and a canine officer, both recovering in Utah, they survived a shooting last night, but 2 Tremonton police officers did not.
The male opened fire on the officer, striking and killing the officer. A second officer with Tremont and Garland Police Department responded to assist the first and was immediately fired upon by the same male suspect.
Brigham City Police Chief Chad Reyes says that suspect was arrested, now charged with aggravated murder. The Democrats who left Texas to block a congressional redistricting are expected back today for a new special session, which would allow Republicans to finally vote and approve it.
They're trying to make this return out to be a victory lap, claiming they got everything they wanted out of their 2 weeks in hiding. California now moving ahead with putting together its own new congressional map that would create 5 new Democratic districts to potentially cancel out what Republicans are doing in Texas.
Garrett Tenney, America's listening to Fox News.
A couple years ago, I was in the bathroom at the airport when I dropped my smartphone in the toilet. Not smart. I was multitasking when I should have been focused on the job at hand. Embarrassing, but I'm not alone. According to Google, 7 million other multitaskers accidentally dropped their phones into the bowl last year. A gentle reminder that right now you can get yourself a brand new Samsung Galaxy A36 absolutely free with a $35 plan from Pure Talk. The A36 comes with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass and a battery that'll last all day, along with unlimited talk, text, and data on America's most dependable 5G network. In other words, it's tough and smart. Something to think about next time you're multitasking in the necessary. Just dial #250, say keyword micro to get your free phone today. You can make the switch in just 10 minutes. That's #250. Say micro to switch to a no-nonsense smartphone and a company that actually stands for something.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Manoa Tuiasosopo. Over the weekend, the Children's Museum of Yuma County added a brand new addition that had kids crawling for joy. The new Be the Bug section gives the youth a safe, air-conditioned space to let out some of that energy, an effort fundraised by the Fort Yuma Rotary. The project took nearly $100,000 worth of donations to complete and is up and running and ready to go. And the Yuma Youth Hockey League is lacing up for a brand new season and a huge milestone. This is year 25 for the YYHL, and they're looking for their biggest turnout ever. Registration for the league season is currently open. Before the season starts, however, YYHL is hosting 2 Learn to Skate sessions over the next 2 weeks. The first session starts tonight, and the other will be on August 25th. They say they're still looking for coaches and as many players as they can to participate. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m.
Sunny hot week with 107 the expected high for today, 5 to 10 mile per hour winds, 81 the low. Tomorrow, sunny and 108 with 85 on Tuesday night. Excessive heat watch back in the forecast for the middle of the week to the end of the week. Sunny and 112 on Wednesday.
El Dorado Broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members. Eddie's Food and Drink, CNS Signs, Bang Auto Glass, Mary Kay and Nancy Sabalos, and MB Flooring LLC. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Valeria@yumachamber.org. That's Valeria@yumachamber.org. Or call 928-782-2567.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle. Or forget extra diapers. And never give in to a meltdown. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never let them have too much screen time. And never bribe them for just one more bite. You say you'd never let them out in public without their hair brushed. Never, ever become a minivan mom. And you'd never give them your phone for a quiet dinner.
Calling boss, work phone.
So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, no, it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
I'm talking to Sean Plasher, my good friend. Oh, well, I don't know. Are we friends yet or are we just acquaintances? I don't know.
Have we made it official on Facebook?
I don't know if we have. I think I sent you a friend request.
I don't think you did.
Oh, I got one from your wife.
If you did, then I probably accepted.
Okay. I don't know. I'm recently back on Facebook. I got banned for a little bit. I don't even post on Facebook. I specifically don't post. I've had Facebook since its inception,
yeah,
back in the day. So in 2004, I believe it was, if I remember correctly, 4 or 5, I was going to Arizona State,
mm-hmm,
and this new thing called Facebook popped up, and all the kids were on it. It was the cool new thing, and it was kind of like an exclusive club because you had to have a .edu
yes,
email in order to actually participate in Facebook. And so I was like, okay, this is cool. And then it was a cool way to see girls and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, this is great, you know, interacting like that. And then over time, I felt like became diluted. Then they let all the riffraff in. The whole world could get on there. Yep. You didn't have to have a EDU anymore. It's like, I'm out.
It was not exclusive.
Once I started to go into like the professional type career, I thought to myself, I don't want something that I post 15 years ago to come back and haunt me. Not that I would do that, but just in case.
Well, I think you were a forward thinker because most people don't think like that. They're just like, yeah, put it out there. I want the world to see me.
Yeah.
Right now.
They need the, I don't need that. I'm super humble. So I can, you know, I don't need the praise of everybody else.
Yeah.
It's not my love language. What's your love language?
Current love language.
Your current, the changes? Oh, man.
You know, as you evolve in life, things can change. For me, I think words of affirmation.
Okay.
Go a long way.
Okay.
So like when my wife struggles with that, that's not her love language. So she has to go out of her way to tell me, hey,
I feel like that's how it always is.
You really did a good job with that. I appreciate it.
I feel like we marry the person that's the opposite of what we need. Like they don't manifest easily the love language that you like to receive.
Yep.
Maybe that's just the theory I have. Maybe that's good for us.
Well, and hers is quality time. And so I try to do that.
You try to do that?
Hers is like, hey, let's go on vacation together. Just the two of us. And I'm like, at some point, we run out of money because of how much they want a vacation.
Words of affirmation. So why do you think that is? Where do you fall in your family?
I'm the last.
Oh, you're the last?
Last of five.
Okay. You think that has to do with it? Maybe you got a ton of attention. Like, oh, it's the baby Sean.
That could be.
I think they call you Tyler, right?
Yep.
Baby Tyler and love, love, love. Everybody else's, who cares?
I was the favorite child.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just falls right into suit there.
You kind of expect to be told, like, oh, you're
the best.
You
have to tell me that.
I see. So when you're not told that, you struggle.
I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Interesting. Do you feel like... This is an interesting concept that I feel like some of my kids struggle with. just because I give praise to one of the other kids doesn't mean you're any less or any worse.
Right.
It just means I'm giving them praise. And I think, do you ever struggle with that? If you see, like, I guess you would call that jealousy.
Yeah. As far as someone else getting it and me not.
Yeah, so if somebody else is getting. You don't think so?
I don't. I try and give credit where credit is due and try to be the humble guy kind of in the back, I think.
Uh-huh.
Is that maybe outsiders have a different perspective of me.
Maybe. We're going to find out in the comments.
Yeah.
That's not true. Nobody watches this, so you're pretty safe.
I've watched a couple.
Yeah. We're going to disable the comments anyway because all they do is put me on blast.
See, it's all about you again.
It's all about me. I am the last. I am the baby as well.
It's a good place to be.
It's a great place to be. The favorite, as you said. A lot of times my brothers will be like, hey, we need you to tell dad this, or we need to talk to dad about this. Can you do that? I'm like, no. Why? Why me? Because, you know, he listens to you.
Yeah.
Okay. I do recognize that he does do that. But so you've been married for how long now?
18 years.
18 years?
Mm-hmm.
And how's it been?
It's great. You know, like every relationship, you have good moments, bad moments.
Yeah.
Coasting moments. But for me, over 18 years, it's up and up.
That's awesome.
It gets more and more fun. I think, you know, in the middle there, you go through those dull moments, like the troughs in the relationship.
Do they say that's like 5-7 years in?
For us, probably around like 12, 13.
Last week?
Yeah. No, last week was good.
Okay. That's a good week.
No, but it's the communication factors, the understanding factors, being able to see eye to eye with each other and be able to work through anything. And that's the commitment you have when you get married is, hey, we're in it for the long haul. Doesn't matter.
What's the key then to your happy marriage?
I think it's the communication factor.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I talked to other people about this. Effective communication can fix most anything. You know, you look at what does a healthy relationship look like? You know, your respect with one another, being able to feel safe and secure in a relationship, supportiveness. If you have good communication, you'll get those other things. If someone's not feeling validated and they can communicate that, hey, how do I turn this around?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to for me.
For your job, well, I don't want to move off this subject yet. I want to hear more about Chelsea. And you recently moved to Yuma.
Yes.
How was that?
I think it was great. I love it.
You came from New Mexico.
Yes.
And, I mean, your kids, you have, let's see, four kids. How did they take that move? I mean, were they, I didn't have to experience this when I was, I grew up basically in the same place,
yeah. You
know, so I didn't have to do that. I saw friends move away when I got to high school, and I thought that was hard. You know, it was hard for me to lose that, not lose, this is in the 90s, so you didn't have, like, you did have internet, but, you know, if somebody's on the phone,
yeah. You
couldn't use it. So it was
you
like,
were pen pals back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, right. And so your relationship gets a little bit strained. And so that was always a bummer when friends would move away. It's like they died, you know, you're not going to hear from them again. And I didn't have to experience that myself. What about your kids? Are they struggling with friends that they had, these social relationships that they experienced in New Mexico?
So when we first talked about the move, I sat them down at dinner and just told them, hey, got a new job. We're going to move. They knew it was coming because they knew we were looking.
Oh, okay.
But my oldest, she's in her senior year now.
Mm.
So she probably took it the hardest.
Yeah.
Just because of going into a senior year. New school, new place, new people. And as a parent, like, I look at that and I'm like, am I making the right choice?
Oof.
You know, is it worth it to uproot what they know, take their friend group, their social sphere, and put them somewhere else. I don't know. And I think it's different for every kid. But as we...
Was that actually really a consideration? I mean, did you really think, well, you know, maybe we stay just one more year before we do a move?
Yeah.
How much of a consideration was that? Or was it just like kind of cursory?
Well, for me, where I was at, I could have stayed another year there and let her graduate. But I think career-wise, it would have been a little more harmful to me to stay longer where I was at. And then I knew I've got another kid trailing right behind that, so they would be uprooted in a similar position. Mm-hmm. So at some point in time, it was going to come to one of them.
Inevitable, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how did you then commit to that decision? I mean, how do you, because you expressed that you had a little, kind of teeter-tottering. You want to do this move, but you recognize it's going to alter the life or the trajectory maybe of my kids and how they grow up for a time. And so that gave you some pause. But ultimately, what made you feel confident moving forward with the big move?
I think in all of the moves that we've done as a family, we've just felt guided, you know, divinely guided by Heavenly Father. Kind of every place we went, we were super excited about it. Like, this is right. We felt it. And we were just committed to it. And as time progressed where we were at, it was almost like he puts these blinders on and re-guides you, just reshifts your view. And he says, okay, you've done what you need to do here. Let's find
time to move
spot.
On. Mm-hmm. And that was the feel you had. You were kind of being pushed somewhere else, not knowing exactly where that is. Because in your job, I imagine you can put in for different areas which you want to go.
Yeah.
And you don't always get to your first choice, right?
Right. And so for me, like, I had put in for specific locations that I was willing to go. I wasn't willing just to go anywhere because of my family dynamics. I was more restrictive on myself with it. So coming to Yuma, you know, it just was right. I think that was divine intervention to put us here.
Did Chelsea feel the same way?
Yes.
She did. Mm-hmm. So she's on board.
Yep.
That's good. Has she kind of followed that pattern as you guys have moved around for your job?
Yeah, she's been 100% on board with all of them.
If you're wanting, if you're feeling we need to go, and then your counterpart's like, I don't want to go. You know, I like what I'm doing here. I like the life we have here.
I think the one, so we moved previous to New Mexico. We moved from Washington State to New Mexico. And that one, you know, both Chelsea and I were born and raised in Washington State.
Yeah.
We were near family. We were home. We had a good place to live. The kids, awesome place for the kids to grow up. And we just felt like it was time, like we needed to go. It wasn't necessarily like, hey, like we have to go, or, you know, we just felt it was right.
Interesting.
And then that move kind of drug out a little bit and we questioned things. But ultimately, by the time we got there, we said 100%, we know we're supposed to go.
Interesting. How long were you in New Mexico?
3.5 years.
Three and a half long years, right? That was New Mexico. Because I've heard it's a dump.
It's just a brown, sagey desert.
Well, so is this.
No, this Yuma's like green in comparison.
What?
There's green trees and crops and orchards.
Oh, yeah, I guess we got the ag. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it just makes everything more plentiful. Like, it just looks beautiful here.
Oh, okay.
When you look at desert to desert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should go there. Go to New Mexico.
New Mexico?
Yeah, you'll be
I
like,
grew up
oh.
pretty close there. I think it's actually where your daughter just went to get her license. I'm guessing because the way my son told the story. So you have the younger daughter who's 15.
Yeah.
And in New Mexico, you can get your driver's license at 15.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than here in Arizona, you only have your permit, right? And then you get at 16, your license at 16 here in Arizona. So my understanding is Chelsea drove your daughter over to New Mexico to get her license.
Yep.
This last week, I think it was, right?
Yep.
And so when my son Christian told me what was going on, well, Chelsea had told me the plan. I just didn't think it was going to actually happen. I don't know why. I doubted it. But
don't doubt her.
I know. That was a as I'm saying that out loud, I thought I shouldn't have done that. But when he told me where it was, he's like, no, it's only like 4-something hours. I'm like, oh, then they probably went to where I around where I grew up.
Yeah.
A small little town off of I-10, Wilcox. So it's right on the border of Arizona and New Mexico. And it's basically the same as Yuma, just on the other side of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to play in New Mexico baseball. Lordsburg, we'd play right across the border there.
Yep.
So is that where they went? So
you know the area.
I know of the area, yeah. It's not as ugly where I grew up, though. I don't feel like. Maybe I'm jaded, but...
I don't know. I've never spent time there. Never stopped in there.
So. You just pass through?
Yeah, I just stay on the interstate.
You're in the northern... But I thought you were in the northern part of New Mexico.
No, we're southeast.
Oh, southeast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Towards Texas.
Yes.
Okay.
So, right, well, in the border. We're like an hour from Texas.
Okay. I know nothing of it.
Yeah. There's not much out there.
I don't plan to. To be honest.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
What are the essentials in life? For the sportsman, it's a rifle, a pistol, and a shotgun. At Firearms Unknown, you can get the essentials for just $9.99. A Smith & Wesson 9mm pistol, a Mossberg shotgun, and an AR-15, all for just $9.99. Need ammo, knives, targets, or sporting gear? You'll find it all at Firearms Unknown at the lowest prices in Yuma. Good things come in threes, and the 3-for-$9.99 deal at Firearms Unknown is definitely a good thing. Firearms Unknown, 801 West 32nd Street, or online at firearmsunknown.com.
El Dorado Broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members, Baskin Robbins, Yuma Cardiac CT, Yuma FC, and Outreach Partners of Yuma. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Valeria at yumachamber.org. That's Valeria at yumachamber.org or call 928-782-2567.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive, like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with our hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex. How did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
560 KBLU.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So this is why I kind of have an aversion to New Mexico. When the lockdowns happened, I feel like they went all out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's ever really recovered. I don't know if that's just a thought I have, or if it's real actuality. But, I don't really feel an inclination to go to New Mexico or do anything in New Mexico.
Yeah, there's really not much there.
Yeah. Okay. And then I had another family member that lived there for Air Force, and he told me all sorts of crazy stories. But they're up northern, just nasty, you know, like the town that they lived in, just nasty. So anyway, I don't plan to move there.
Yeah, I don't plan to go back there.
Those that are listening or watching this, don't hate me because I don't want to go to New Mexico. You know, I don't want to go a lot of places.
Well, and that's the thing, like for us moving there, we, like I said, we felt guided, directed to be there 100%. And I'm a firm believer, like when you align yourself with the Lord, like things are going to turn out good and it's going to look good. Like, we went in there, positive attitude, we absolutely loved our time there. You know, like I said, our kids didn't really want to leave. We enjoyed the town that we lived in. We enjoyed the people we were around. It was good.
Is it a small town?
Yeah. So, much smaller than Yuma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, multiple high schools, just one?
Just one high school.
Really? Okay, so small. Small, small. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good place to grow up.
And that's how, even in Washington, we came, it was a small town.
It's always been a small town. So, Yuma's kind of a metropolis for you.
Well, yeah. Yuma is the largest city my kids have lived in.
Mm-hmm. How are they adapting so far?
They love it.
Yeah?
Yeah. They've made friends quick. They're in school now, so associations are increasing.
Yeah.
They're enjoying their time at school. At first, it was a little bit of a struggle for at least one of them. But now they seem to be enjoying it. They've gotten kind of the lay of the land. They got the classes figured out, and things are good.
When you were getting started, let's say in life, how did you make your decisions? What caused you to go this way rather than that way? You know, instead of being, let's say, a dentist or something, you decided, well, I'm going to go federal law enforcement.
So let's, I got to take you back to previous, right? So
90s, are we going back?
We're going back, like, when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah.
I always had it in my mind, and I always wanted to be in construction. Like, I just liked working with my hands. I like the design of stuff, building. And so I went to college and studied construction management and business.
Okay.
So I got a bachelor's in construction management and a minor in business. And the whole goal and mentality of that was that I was going to own my own residential construction company. Like, I just wanted to build nice custom homes. 2007, 2008, the economy, housing market just boom, took a dump, right? So the program I was in, we had 97% of our graduates had a job previous to graduation.
Mm-hmm.
When that housing market dumped, we went to 7% of our graduates had jobs. So I graduated in 2009. Mm-hmm. So I was about a year out, roughly, from graduation in my program, and I thought, what am I going to do? Like, I've got kids, I got a wife, I got to provide.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
How old are you at this time?
I'd say 23,
22, 23.
Wow. Somewhere
in there. Young.
Mm-hmm.
How many kids did you have?
We had one at the time. We were almost one on the way when we were looking at that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I graduated, right after graduation, we had our second one. So
you have your bachelor's now in construction management,
mm-hmm.
but the market's looking horrible. It's on the up and up.
Yeah.
No, not really.
No.
Not in 2009.
No, we're still in the toilet.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say in the Obama years, but.
No. Pre-Obama. Anyway, so then we're looking kind of, what do we do?
Yeah.
So I started looking actually on the military side of things. I had a brother-in-law in the Air Force at the time. Kind of went rounds and rounds with him talking about his career. My wife is very anti-deployment. Like, she likes having me around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she, you know, she's like,
I thought you were going to say anti-military.
No.
That's interesting.
She's pro-military, supports military. We both do. But she was like, I don't know that I could physically, mentally, emotionally handle you being gone that long. I said, okay, let's figure something out.
Yeah.
And so then my brother-in-law, he's the one that turned me on to federal law enforcement. Specifically, he was in Texas at the time. And he had some friends that worked Border Patrol. And he said, have you ever looked at this? And I said, no.
Never. Yeah, not even on your radar.
Never even really heard of it.
Like, yeah, right.
So I just started Googling stuff and watching videos, and I stumbled upon an application and filled it out. So didn't even tell my wife.
Oh.
I just filled it out. Just seeing what happens, right?
Yeah.
And then I told her about it when they wanted to show up and do a background investigation.
So they came to your house?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, they had been to my home, and then also I met with them like on the college campus. Just had sit-down interviews with them. You know, there's a process. Still had to do some tests, medical screening, things like that. But she didn't know about it till after the fact.
And oh, wow. You've gone through all this?
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, she jumped on board with it and got hired on. It took a year and a half to get hired on. And then went all in.
That's tough because you got to still provide for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing if this is actually going to go anywhere.
And it actually worked out well because, you know, it allowed me to finish my degree.
Uh-huh.
And then we continued working. And it was probably, I think, about 8 months after I graduated when I finally got a call and got hired on.
Once you get that call, I mean, how fast do you start? Is it like next week or is it?
I think I had about a month.
Okay. So relatively quick time span to get your family positioned where you needed to be.
Yeah. So for mine, we were still a young family, had two kids. My wife decided, hey, I'm going to go back and live with my parents while you go through your training.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get back together after that.
How long is training?
About 6 months.
Okay.
So,
not bad.
You know, it gives you time to away from family so you can focus, concentrate on the things you need to do. And then once you're done, reunions are good. And you move on and continue the progression.
Speaking of like time away from family, if you were presented with a scenario where they come to you and they say, hey, we're going to pay you $5 million if you do this thing over in Taiwan, but you can't bring your family. And it's going to take 3 years for this contract. Would you do that? $5 million in Taiwan. 3 years away from your family, is that worth it to you?
For me, no. I look at it, 3 years away from my family right now is critical.
Oh, yes? Okay.
I have three kids in high school, one in middle school. You take that away, you leave for 3 years, come back. Now what do you have? Kids in college, out of your home, that you're not going to see again, but on a holiday and a weekend every now and then.
Yeah, but you think they need you?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I think kids need a father in the home. It takes a village to raise kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't always have a village, but at least, you know, having a mom and a dad goes a long way.
You think so?
I do.
I've
been in positions. I've been away from my family. I've worked away from my family for stints at a time, and it's not easy, you know.
Why?
Just the separation. They call FOMO, I guess, fear of missing out,
okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I get that. I hate not being a part of my kids' lives.
Yeah.
And then I think those teenage years are so crucial to them to be able to help mold and develop them, guide them as they have those. You know, I think as teenagers, their brain resets a little bit,
yeah,
and they get stupid, and then you have to exponentially get them back on track where they were, and then progression beyond that. So there's a lot of big decision-making that goes on for teenagers, and I think I should be there for it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I agree with all that. You know, the dad needs to be in the home, but sometimes it's just not possible.
Right.
And
don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it if a parent can't be there.
Right.
Like, I have friends that, you know, they work in the mining industry or the oil industry, and they may be on site at a mine for like 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, or maybe a month on and 2 weeks off. That's the dynamic they live, and they do the best they can. So I don't knock it. You know, they're still providing for their family. They're being there when they physically can. They're supporting them.
Mm-hmm. I think that all makes sense. I think as a dad, one of my hardest things to do, to not do, is to jump in and fix things, to let things play out. I think we do a disservice to our kids when we fix their problems for them, no matter how, you know, trivial or how big they are.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say that I am perfect at this, but my natural inclination is right off the bat, if there's a problem at school, I want to go fix it, you know. And but I have to always pump the brakes, like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I want them to figure this out. I need them to figure this out. It's not that I want them to. I want to take the pain away, or I want to take that away from them. That's my natural inclination, is to fix it. But I have to really pump. It's a conscious effort on my behalf sometimes to pump the brakes and let the consequences follow, and encourage them, coach them. Hey, if I were in your shoes, this is what I would do. And just see if they do that. You know, if they don't, then they're going to learn, the consequence will follow.
Yeah.
It's very challenging. Have you experienced that with your kids?
100%.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think
every fix it, or do you sit back and,
so I think every parent experiences that. And I think every parent struggles with the same things, you know, and it takes a very in tune parent to pump those brakes and say, well, let me think about it. Let me look at it. Let's let it roll.
Yeah.
You know, because for kids, we forget as parents that kids are kids. They're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. And they've got to learn ownership in their mistakes. And if we just jump in as parents, we're not allowing our kids to own anything.
Mm-hmm.
We get so defensive over our kids, mm-hmm. like that protective instinct. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't talk about my baby. Don't hurt my baby. My baby's never wrong.
Right.
They couldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But we forget, hey, yeah, they probably did do it. Or at least a portion of the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's always a guilty party somewhere.
Sure. There's the law enforcement part of you coming out.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my theory. Is a lot of times law enforcement, after individuals, after being in that beat for so long, My theory is that you naturally just look at people and you're like, they've done something wrong.
Well, I think part of it is just like you have a way like to connect with people. And when people don't connect with you, okay. You're like, okay, what's going on here?
Okay. So is that a skill that's taught?
I think some people just have it, intuition.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, you know, my wife can pick up on stuff without even a word being said. We've been in situations where, like, both of us, situations where we're like, we need to leave. Like, mm-hmm. not a word said. We were with our kids hanging out. And I remember one specific time, we were having this great time. We were in a community event. And we just were sitting on a bench. And some people showed up. And we just said, it's time to go.
Interesting.
Let's go. We grabbed our kids and got out.
So you're saying kind of like from the aspect of safety, personal, physical safety.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like always on alert. Is that what you're saying? Because I'm not. I mean, I go to a restaurant. I'm just like, eating my stuff. My taco.
Doing my thing, right?
Yeah, man. And my wife always has to sit and position herself where she can see the entrance and she wants to be able to see everything.
Yeah.
And she does it purposefully. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, yeah, she's got this, you know.
And I don't let me know if I need to jump in.
Yeah,
right?
I don't even think that way, you know. Like, oh well, we're fighting now? Okay, I'm up. Let me take my bites of taco and then I'm in this fight.
Yeah.
That's the way I would react.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they got it. Somebody's got it over there. They'll take care of it.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Are you a self-starter with a passion for media and marketing? El Dorado Broadcasters is hiring remote independent sales contractors. Sell radio ads and digital campaigns from anywhere on your schedule. You'll earn commission-only income with unlimited potential. Backed by a supportive team, you set your hours, work your own leads, and earn commission on every sale. If you're driven, disciplined, and love helping businesses grow, we want to hear from you. Apply now and start building your future in media sales. Email your resume to edbroadcasters.com. Today. Take the first step now.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
At Exceptional Community Hospital Yuma, we are committed to delivering compassionate care and exceptional services. With a concierge-style approach to patient care, you will experience short wait times and medical attention that's fast, professional, and personalized. We accept all insurance plans, honor in-network benefits, and are nationally accredited for quality and patient safety. Exceptional Community Hospital Yuma, where you are never just a patient. You are family.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 on 560 KBLU.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So I think through training experiences and stuff, I think along the lines of your wife, I don't necessarily always do it, but I am more keyed in on things and aware of stuff that's going around.
So that's just the way you live your life. You're constantly just like on the lookout, on alert, or not really?
So yes and no. There's times to turn it on and times to turn it off.
Okay.
It's like I always tell my wife, I'd rather be like preemptive and prepared for something then caught off guard, mm-hmm. or not have the ability to defend myself when needed.
That's it.
Yeah.
Simple statement like that.
Yeah. I just like time and place, right? Uh-huh. I tell my kids the same thing. Time and place. There's always a time and a place. If I'm at home chilling, relaxing, you just turn it off.
Yeah.
I'm at home with the family, having a good time, you know? We're out at the lake. I'm probably turned off. We're just out having a good time as a family. But more public settings, going to concerts or big gatherings.
Or a restaurant or something? Not even then, huh?
Sometimes because, you know, I've seen things go on. I've seen stupidity in kids where guns were involved. And I'm like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know... To a degree, I'm prepared for that. I've been in a position where with my family traveling to an amusement park and, you know, I saw some guy take off from law enforcement and stupid me, we followed him and then I got out of the car and chased him.
Really?
So.
Okay.
It's
just helping, huh?
Yeah. Because it was law enforcement that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So,
man, I was going to ask you a question about that. Dang, what was it? Oh, man, it was around those same lines. I was going to ask you, and maybe this is an inappropriate question, but do you typically carry a firearm on your person or not really? Just in case, you carry, what do you carry? Like a small 9mm, like standard issue.
Yeah, subcompact 9mm.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what I'm doing, I have different,
what's your best
size weapons.
What's your favorite way to carry that? I'm asking for a friend. I have one. I just never carry it because I don't know. I'm not confident enough with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm worried that I'm going to, if I carry it in the back, shoot myself in the butt cheek, or carry it in the front, shoot myself where I really don't want to be
in
shot.
In the groin?
Yeah. So I don't carry it at all because I'm like, I don't know where to keep this thing.
Yeah.
My wife bought me a holster for like my ankle.
Yeah.
But it was just uncomfortable. I didn't like it. It's hot, you know.
Well, and I like wearing shorts. So then
what's the
point?
What are you going
to
do?
Right?
Yeah.
For me, most of the time, I'll carry it in my waistband somewhere.
Do you have one of those? Have you seen those where it's on the inside and you pull up and it pops up and then you grab it?
I've seen them. I've never used one. It's like a deeper carry.
I think it is, yeah.
No, most of the time mine's high and tight.
Do you have one in the chamber? See, this is where I'm like, dude, I don't know. If I keep one in the chamber, do I carry it at all? Like, if I didn't have one in the chamber, I wouldn't be as worried to carry it.
Right. So for me, I do, because that's the way I've been trained.
You've been trained. If you pull your weapon, you're going to use it. You don't pull your weapon without.
Like, I always know the status of my weapon, and it's always got one in it. But it's ready to go
ready
whenever
to rock and
I need
roll.
It. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a safety on that particular firearm? Your trigger finger is your safety? That's what I'm asking. I'm just wondering.
Sometimes they
don't have them, you know?
They all have some sort of safety mechanism in them, depending on if it's an actual safety you have to manipulate, or like if it's a pressure safety on the trigger. It just depends.
Wait a second. You're like a guy that trains this kind of stuff, right?
So somewhat. I don't specifically train firearms.
Oh, you don't? Okay. I thought in a conversation we had, you said you did. No.
So I'm an instructor in other disciplines, like active shooter situations. So I do teach active shooter response, but I don't actually teach the actual firearms course of material for our guys.
So active shooter, let's say there's a bad guy that breaches the high school here at Gila Ridge. He gets somehow through the office. Maybe he's shooting his way through.
Mm-hmm.
He penetrates into the back of the interior of Gila Ridge. That's what you train on.
Yeah.
You train other guys and teams to how to react.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you react?
Every situation is very dynamic.
Sure.
But what we do is, for us, like, it doesn't matter. If you hear shooting, if you have an active stimulus, you will go in there. That's the mentality we teach our guys.
So it's not wait and see.
Mm-mm.
Chat it out with this guy.
We will get in there 100%. Now, if you have a second or a third guy coming and they're 10 seconds out, yeah, I'll probably wait. I'll stage up because strength in numbers, right?
Sure.
But if it's like, hey, my backup is 5 minutes away, and
5 minutes is a lot,
and I have active stimulus of someone popping off rounds, I'm not waiting.
So do you teach like tactics as well, breaching doors,
mm-hmm.
looking?
Yeah, so how to maneuver through a building, how to
check an area,
how to analyze like corners and intersections, and how you're going to address them, being able to take the right angles on them to keep everyone in your team safe and secure.
How effective is that training? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is,
it's a perishable skill. So if you don't constantly go through it, you'll lose it.
Why do you think that is? Because it's not natural?
Yeah, I think it comes down to just the fluidity of it. So guys that train it more often, they can flow through a building very quickly and very effectively and very safe. But when you've done it, let's say you trained on it once 2 years ago, like, you're going to have an idea somewhat, but you're not going to be very fluid with it. You're going to stop at every corner and try and think, hey, how do I approach this?
Okay.
So it just, like, your response time is increased.
Rusty.
You're not.
You're a little rusty.
Yep. And then if you, have guys from different agencies that haven't trained that you, how you've trained, or haven't ever trained in that situation.
That's challenging.
Now it's a communication thing. We go back to that effective communication, right? Being able to tell people what their job is in that role and expecting them to do the job.
I imagine there wouldn't be a situation probably where you would have one federal agency with another federal agency both going in at the same time. It'd probably be one or the other, right?
No, you could get, you know.
You have to work these corners, these intersections together.
Yeah.
That's and a horrible situation, I would
We've had responses where it's not even just federal. You're talking federal, you have state, you have local, county. So everyone's involved. Everyone's responding to a situation like that.
So you have four or five agencies all trained differently on intersection, you know, tactics and corner tactics. I mean, that's challenging.
Yeah. So then it comes down to, you know, who's got the confidence and ability to lead a group of misfits. Lack of a better term, just a conglomeration of...
You would have to have somebody point, right, in that situation. And how does that even happen?
Someone's just
communication?
Yeah, someone's just going to roll with it, whoever steps up to the plate, and the other guys...
You're saying a guy within the group?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's not somebody from above, one of the higher-ups saying... Diaz, he's the guy leading you guys.
It's whoever shows up. Someone's just gonna say let's go, and you start giving orders.
How much do you know about Evaldi?
A little bit. Yeah, I have friends that responded to that incident. So.
I don't know a lot about it, but my recollection is that it was an active shooter situation at a school. I don't know if it was at a high school.
I don't know for sure.
It was a school.
Yeah, it's a small town, so, and I've never physically, like, personally been to Evaldi.
Mm-hmm.
I just have friends who have grown up there, who have worked there, lived there.
And if I remember the story correctly, federal agencies showed up and just kind of breached and went and did what needed to be done, while the local law enforcement hung back, weren't as quick to respond. Is that accurate? I don't really remember.
I don't know a lot of the administrative details kind of behind the scenes. You know, as agencies, we never want to step on other agencies' toes. So that may have been a factor in there for a delay in response time.
Mm-hmm.
Just people trying to figure out what's going on, what the actual situation is, and who's in charge of it.
From your perspective, is it better to hang back and gather intel before you go in to see what's going on? Or is it more like we're all going in and we'll figure it out as we go?
Yeah. So for me and the type of teaching we've done, it's if you have an active stimulus, meaning that you hear someone shooting or people screaming for help or any type of sign like, hey, he's in here. I'm scared. Don't shoot me. Anything like that. That's your stimulus of we're going in. Now, if it's all quiet, no movement, nothing going on, then you don't have a lot to go off of. So it's kind of like you're still in this hunt. Where is this guy? What do we know about him? You know, any clues?
It seems to me in those situations I would employ the use of a dog.
Well, possibly, but dogs...
They're the best.
Yeah, right? Dogs...
You sniff anything out. But they have to go. Yeah, so
you
have to go off a
look,
hit or a mark.
You have to look at like what type of dog is it too. And I can't speak for the dogs because I'm not a canine guy. I don't know the ins and outs of them. And there's differences between like a drug dog and a bite dog, and who's got what and what is your resource. Right. Mm-hmm. It's all about what resources do you have available.
You've visited 9/11, right? I think
I haven't been to 9/11.
I thought you had. No. I thought we were talking about this the other day. I thought Chelsea said something about going to New York.
No, I haven't been to New York.
Okay.
Been to D.C.
Yeah.
Been to the Pentagon.
Right.
So we've been to that memorial there. But no.
The reason I brought it up was, well, first I thought you'd gone there and we talked about it. But I've gone through a couple times, I think two or three times through the towers, you know, now it's a museum or memorial. And so there's all these displays. You get to go down into tower, you know, North Tower and South Tower and things like that. And it'll show you where you're at in perspective because you really don't know. on the map and stuff as you're moving around, what happened, timelines and things like that when September 11th happened. And so it's very, what's the word? Humbling. You know, it's very, I don't want to say sacred, but more like there is a reverent tone there.
Yeah, I think there
and,
should be.
And I really didn't get emotional until I got to, they have a section that's dedicated to the dogs.
Yeah.
To the rescue dogs. And it was pretty awesome. I'm like, these guys are incredible, you know, and the things that they did. So they would go in and find people, pull them out, you know, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
So, but all of it's really emotional. I don't know why I went there, but you don't even deal with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You're the wrong guy to talk to. Who, Martine, get somebody with dog experience. I'm just kidding, Martine. We'll take Sean for today.
Just for today.
Just for today. Well, Sean, it's been a great one.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's no active shooter situations in the future around me.
That.
But if there are, I hope I'm in your presence, which is probably likely. We've been hanging out quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're with me and that you have those skills. But what I would encourage you to do is get a dog, because it could really take you from here and elevate your game to here. It really could.
I think what I want to see in the future is you with the dog.
I've got two dogs.
You just got to train them better then.
Oh. That's true. I do. One in particular.
Yeah.
The other one's an angel. But thank you for coming on. I know this was a big sacrifice for you. And hopefully we don't make you look dumb when we do the post edits.
I hope so too.
Even if we did, I don't really care. And then you can go to counseling, see?
Been there, done that.
Been there, done that. Good for you. Okay, thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
This is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. Serving in the military requires great sacrifices, not just for one's country, but also for one's family. Not surprisingly, divorce for soldiers is especially difficult, and it raises a number of challenges that are peculiar to military divorce, things such as deployments, relocation, retirement benefits. These issues can be complicated, and the lawyer you choose needs to be equipped to handle them. So if you're a soldier facing such challenges, go to CordellCordell.com.
No young person should ever have to worry about having a safe place to sleep at night, or a warm meal to eat, or whether anyone cares about them.
But the reality is, 1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year.
But the good news is, there's an organization making a big difference. Covenant House.
For over 50 years, Covenant House has been helping youth in crisis and giving them the support and the tools they need to succeed in life.
I have no words to express how Covenant House changed my life. They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges.
Covenant House is changing the lives of young people in cities across America.
To learn more, go to covenanthouse.org today.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game, marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy. and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.